following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Where shall I begin tonight? I just have something very brief to share with you. And then I want to share at least one song with you that has been so much on my heart recently. It's an old Keith Green song. How many of you remember Keith Green? Not old Keith Green. Keith didn't live to be physically old. He was 29 when he passed away, plane crash. But how many of you were touched by his music? I mean, profoundly touched. And he was, and one of the names of one of his albums was No Compromise, and that identified him. And once he was captured by the grace of God, it was all in for Jesus, just like you and me, I hope. But last week there was. We covered two chapters, and Jeff is amazing. He's a great teacher, he's a great preacher, great pastor, and I loved where he took us at the end of chapter 14. One of my favorite statements there, and I just felt like we needed to go back to that tonight. Not the whole chapter, just the last several verses in Genesis chapter 14. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the choice before the challenge. The choices that we make before the challenge that we face. And so, as Abram, he's not Abraham yet, he's Abram, his name will be changed before too long, but he has this encounter with Melchizedek, and he has this encounter with the king of Sodom. And the king of Sodom, in verse 17, it says he went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And after his return from the defeat of these names are so hard. You go ahead and try to pronounce it right now. You got it there? Verse 17. Let me see how you can do it. Anybody want to stand up and try to pronounce that name? Give you a shot. What? Come on. All right, here's how I would pronounce it. Chedorlaomer. Everybody say Chedorlaomer. Close enough for the letters I have here. After his return from that defeat and the kings who were with him. And then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who many, as Jeff said last week, many see as a type of Christ. The king of Salem brought out bread and wine, kind of a communion elements there. And he was the priest of God Most High. Jesus Christ is our chief priest, the high priest who intercedes for us. And it says he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. And then the king of Sodom appears again. Then the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons." One translation says this, "Just give me the souls. Just give me the people. That's all I want. I just want the people. I just want the souls." He said, "Give me the persons, and you take the goods for yourself." And read verse 22 and 23 out loud with me, if you would. "But Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me.'" Father, open our eyes to the beauty of what we're about to celebrate, Lord. The reminder of who has our hearts, Lord. Who has our souls? Who is the Savior of our souls? And where our hope lies and rests confidently and firmly upon what Christ has done through the elements that we celebrate tonight. Those elements of the bread and the cup that represent the body and the blood of Jesus. Amen. I think it's so significant that when the king of Sodom comes to Abram and he says, "Just give me the souls, just give me the people," that's all Satan really has ever been after, is your soul. And you have the power to give it to him if you want to. He says, "Just give me the souls and you can take all the goods." Don't you love Abram's response to him? He says, "I don't want anything from you." He says, "I don't even want a thread off your raggedy old garments, or maybe beautiful garments." He said, "I don't even want a shoestring from you." And here's why. He said, because I have already raised my hand to Jehovah. I have already pledged my life to Jehovah. And he's saying, I don't need anything from you. I don't want anything from you. And you don't get anything of substance from me. You've got nothing that I'm interested in. And until the day that we can look right back, so to speak, into the face, if not the face, the offer of the devil and say, I don't want a thing that you would enrich me with. I don't want wealth if it comes from you. I don't want anything from you. You've got nothing at all that I want. Until the day that we say that confidently with our, in a sense, and maybe even literally, with our hands raised to God and say, I have already pledged my life in loyalty to God, and you've got nothing that I want. Then, until that day, you will always be the slave of the enemy. He'll always jerk you around, and he'll always offer you something else. We were talking, Joy and I were talking this morning with our daughter, Starlin. Had a great time of just hanging out and drinking coffee together and laughing. And yes, we're Welshes, so some tears flowed too. It's just part of what I think we do. But it was just a really, really precious time. And Joy and I were talking to her about some of our foolish days when we took what the enemy had to offer. And it was before we met each other. But we took what the enemy had to offer. We took the substance that we thought would make us happy, we thought would fulfill us, and it robs you. How many of you would agree with me? Whatever the devil offers you, it robs you. It destroys you. It depletes you. The thief comes to do those three things. What are they? To rob you, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, but I've come to give you life. And I think it is just so profound that what Jesus gave us to remember what he did for us is a meal. A meal that's supposed to sustain something of substance. There's the bread and there's the beverage that was wine on the table when Jesus celebrated it. And, you know, here in our culture, it's grape juice, but it's still the fruit of the vine. And it's meant to be a reminder of that substance that sustains us, which is his grace. The substance that we have of his grace because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But we, just like Abram, when he was in the valley of that challenge, he was faced by the enemy, he says, I have already made my choice. See, and you have to make your choice before you're in the midst of the challenge. You have to say, look, I've raised my hand to God. I hope when you stand and you sing out loud and strong and your hands are raised, I hope those hands are raised in a stance of loyalty to God. You remember those foolish pictures of the crowds whenever Hitler would go by? And what did they say? Heil, hail, hail to Hitler, loyalty to Hitler. And all their arms were supposed to be out just like that. That was a statement of loyalty to their Fuhrer, their furious Fuhrer. And ours is this stance of loving loyalty to the God who gave everything so that we could have everything, so that we could have life. And he makes it just as simple as that. I was thinking through this since last week, and that just so awakened something in me. And I was talking to Jeff about that last week after he preached on the Wednesday night. And just the powerful way that he ended in those chapters, but the I've raised my hand like that. And I thought about Job. You remember Job's, the worst season of Job's life, period. It had to be when he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost goods, certainly. He lost livestock. He lost friends, all these young men. But he lost his family too. And did you see what he did? It says he threw dust. Action of, or it's kind of not really ceremonial, but everybody did. You'd tear your clothes and throw dust on your head, and then it says, he worshiped. Why? Because he'd already raised his hand to Jehovah. He was already a man who worshiped God, and he stood there, laid there in loyalty, saying, God, you ever had this moment? God, I don't understand you, but I love you. I don't get this, but I understand you love me, and you're faithful to me. And you find that in Job chapter 1, verse 20. I love this other scene. We're not going to turn to all of these. But I do want you to turn to John chapter 6. But King Jehoshaphat, when all these armies come against him, and he goes running to the temple, and his father had done the same thing when it got really hot for him. He ran to the temple, but daddy didn't go there to worship. Daddy went there to rob the treasures of the temple and go across the river and ally himself to raise his hand to the wrong king. And he had nothing but wars for the rest of his life. But when the armies came down upon Jehoshaphat under his reign, he ran to the temple and threw himself before God. He ran to the altar. And he said, Oh Jehovah, oh Yahweh, this multitude is too big for us. He said, we don't have any power and we don't have any plan. We didn't get ready for this. We don't have any power. We don't have any plan. And I love what he said, but our eyes are on you. What had Jehoshaphat done? He'd already raised his hand to Jehovah in loyalty. He'd already made his pledge of surrender. I guess in some sense, he'd already said his sinner's prayer. He said, God, you're the God of my life. You're the Lord of my life. You're the Savior of my soul. And in John chapter 6, and we'll get to this and study it in much, much deeper fashion in a month or so after Resurrection Sunday. But at the end of this, this is such a strong chapter, long and strong chapter. But towards the end of the chapter, when Jesus has talked about the bread and the wine, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and he let them make a mistake in their interpretation of what he had to say, and he didn't stop them as they were turning their backs and walking away. It says even many of his disciples, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more in verse 66. And he's not talking about cannibalism there. He's not talking about literally taking a chunk out of his forearm or taking a bite out of his calf muscle. He's talking about intense faith, partaking by faith, but he let them walk away if they were going to walk away. And Jesus turned to the 12. And look at verse 67 with me. Read the red letters with me and then down into verse 68 and 9. Let's read that together. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Peter is saying there? What all these others were saying, what Abram was saying, I have raised my hand to the Lord Most High. He wasn't saying, we totally understand what it means to eat your flesh and drink your blood. They didn't get it either. But they knew that Jesus didn't speak nonsense either. I think they said, Lord, you've got the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? We know who you are. We know you're our only hope. And tonight, as we partake of the bread and the cup tonight, that's what we're saying. And if that's not what you're saying, then the meal tonight is not for you. And I'm not trying to chase anybody away, but it really would be meaningless to you. This meal was supposed to mean this one thing, that Paul, when he would lead people in the communion celebration, the celebration of the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, he would remind them what Jesus said. He said, This bread is my body offered for you. Do this and remember me. Remember what it cost me to save you. And the cup is the cup of the new covenant. He said, do this with solemn, with a solemn remembrance. Don't ever take this lightly. But maybe, and you know what? Maybe there's somebody here tonight who has never said, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. And maybe tonight you've been brought to that place, and maybe over the last weeks, months, years even of your life, something's been waking up, and tonight you're ready to say, Jesus, I believe what you did for me. And my only hope is not just me trying to do better, but thanking you for doing the righteous thing, thanking you for offering yourself as a sacrifice for me. And if you're ready tonight to say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I receive you as my Lord, my Savior, I lay my life before you, then this is your feast of forgiveness. This is the feast. Looks like a feast, doesn't it? It'll get lost in your hand if you close it up. This little tiny bite reminds you that he died for you. That little sip reminds you that his blood was shed because he loves you. He loves you. Your only hope for salvation is what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. So I'm going to share a song with you that has it has been ringing in my ears now for a couple of weeks. I was out on a walk one morning, and for some reason this song came back to mind for me, and I just can't get it out of my head. Like I said, it's a song from Keith Green, and it was one of his more convicting, I think, really personal worship songs. And it was so simple. And some of you have been here. Maybe you're here tonight where what used to be on fire in you sort of simmered down a little bit. And that can come back to life as you focus again with just a, you know, such kind of a laser focus on the cross and just say, Jesus, forgive me for forgetting. Thank you for the reminder tonight that what you did for me. My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. Let's sing that again. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. Sing that together again from the top. My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. Oh, what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. I'm sure there's some folks here tonight that would say, yeah, but my faith doesn't feel old. I'm so happy for you. But I bet there's some that are, where you realize you just kind of go through the motions again and again, whether it's going to church or reading your chapter, and you can do it so easy without feeling, and even without faith. So whether you're there at the dry place or not, whether your heart is hard or your prayers are cold, or just by memory, I think it's worth singing one more time before we pass out the elements for communion this evening. And search our hearts and ask God to keep us on fire. Keep our hearts soft. Keep our prayers hot with faith. keep us growing in intimacy, closer and closer to Him. Let's sing this again. My eyes. My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be alive to You. To me, what can be done? What can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is You, Your Spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of Your blood. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Why don't you sing this with me and the ushers, if you guys would come up and go ahead and pass out the bread. I'm going to pass out all the trays. Go ahead and take the cup and take the bread and hold them, and we'll partake together. And we'll have the worship team come back out, and we'll spend a bit more time tonight in just some reflective worship and prayer. And we will never forget what You did to redeem us. We will never forget how You bled to forgive us with this bread and with this cup. We remember You were lifted up, and we'll never, oh, never forget. We will never forget the promise You made us never to leave, never to leave, never forsake us, and never forsake us. By this we proclaim the power of Your holy name, and Jesus, we will never forget. With all that's behind us, with all that's behind us, the guilt and the stain, this sweet reminder is drawing us in to remember. We remember You again. We will never forget what You did. What You did to redeem us. We will never forget how You bled to forgive us. With this bread and with this cup, we remember You were lifted up, and we will never forget. Oh, and Jesus, we will never forget. We will never, oh, never, we will never, oh, never, we will never, oh, never forget. With all that's behind us, with all that's behind us, the guilt and the stain, this sweet reminder is drawing us in to to remember you. We remember you again. And I will never, oh never, sing that to him personally. I will never. Oh, I will never, oh never forget. I will never, oh never, I will never, oh never, oh I will never, oh never forget. While the worship team comes back, go ahead and take a moment right where you are and close your eyes and just talk to Jesus. Give him praise and thank him for what he did on that hideous cross. He endured the cross and he hated the shame. But because you were set before him, he endured it all. Just take a moment. If you have sin to confess, confess it to him. Don't rename it. Don't change the labels on sin. Name it for what it is and receive his grace and forgiveness and cleansing. We will never, 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 oh, let me never, oh, never forget. Lord, you really are here tonight. You really are with us. God, I thank you that you've come with this purpose of refreshing your people, Lord, with the reminder of the price that was paid for us. Oh, God, we praise you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for overcoming that which had overcome us. Thank you for destroying the hold of sin and the hold of the devil. God, I pray that tonight, right now, you would set people free. I've cried out to you for forgiveness and for life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here tonight that when I was singing that Keith Green song about my eyes are dry and my faith is old, my heart is hard and my prayers are cold, anybody have a whisper of any of those things kind of happen to you or identify those things in your heart? Don't raise the hand with a cup in it, but raise the other hand. How many of you would say, yeah, I think that was somewhat of a message for me. I come face to face with that stuff all the time. It's so easy to just do what you do by memory and you know, the life that Jesus wants us to live with him is so full of hope and it's so full of overflowing joy. I am anticipating when we get to that part of the Gospel of John where Jesus sits around the table where he celebrated this with his disciples. And he says, oh, I want joy and hope and love and peace defining your life. And he had so many encounters with Pharisees. You know what the problem was with the Pharisees? Their eyes were dry and their faith was old. And their hearts were hard and their prayers were just cold, rote prayers. Jesus doesn't want us to get there. I'm not going to do the quote for you because I would terribly misquote it. I was really taken by a statement by a woman who they say she lived a vagabond life so that she could love the most lost people on earth. And she said, She said, communion is so important for me. She kind of put it like this, I can't live without this meal reminding me of how much I'm loved by God. And I kind of like that view of this meal, that you come to it with such importance. It's I've talked about it in so many different ways over the years. It's our family meal. It reminds us of who we are and how we became His. So I'm gonna go sit with Joy and partake when we're ready. You've got the bread in your hands, you've got the cup in your hands. If you're here as a couple, then you're free to, you know, just turn and spend a moment together like that. The band will keep playing, and they might even keep singing. I don't know. You guys are free to do what you want to do. But let's just take some time and approach this seriously and with a real sense of celebration and gratitude that what He did was for us. And you can pray over the bread and thank Him for His body, pray over the cup and thank Him for His blood, and let this reminder refresh us tonight and bring back to our eyes what needs to be there at times, and just a vibrant, fresh life. Anybody want that vibrant, fresh life? So Father, would you just be with us? Jesus, you're here in this room with us. Holy Spirit, we recognize your presence. Father God, you live within us, and we just pray that you would just do a work in our hearts right now, Lord, as we commune with you over the bread and the cup. In Jesus' name. And then I'll come back and close in a little bit. Let's all stand together. It would be a really good idea if I could remember to announce, like in our weekend services coming up, or maybe the week before communion service, because we have people that join us midweek online, and it'd be so great to let them know we're going to have communion and tell them, you know, grab some grape juice and grab a piece of bread and join us from home. I hope that doesn't keep people from coming, but that'd be so good for them to be refreshed in the same way. The empty cup. The reason we get to drink that full cup of forgiveness is because Jesus drained the cup of the wrath of God that was due to us because of our sin. He drank it all so that you could drink the sweet cup of forgiveness. You could drink the reminder of His great love. And then, because of who you are now, to go walking into a horribly broken world. Some people that are obviously just chewed up by life, and others that look pretty together, but, you know, down at the core, if they don't know Christ, it's empty. And they're looking for something to hang a life on. So for us to leave here refreshed and ready to be a light and a witness, and it's the refreshing presence of Christ in the world where He takes us. What an amazing privilege that is, to be a representative of King Jesus. Amen? And to just get after it, to love Him and tell people about Him. Join the guys that are and gals that are going out on the streets and witnessing now. Go with them if there's the slightest tug in your heart to want to, I guess you'd say, learn how to do that, learn how to share your faith. Go along and shadow them and learn how to share your faith, not just out on the street, but in the office and on the job and in the classroom and wherever God is using you. But it's that life that that's the life I want to live. I know that's the life you want to live as well. And I'm going to challenge you to do something. Go home and look up this song, My Eyes Are Dry. And that's all you got to do is My Eyes Are Dry lyrics, and you'll get all the lyrics to it. And write it out on a post-it note. Put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere where you can see it. And it's just a really good measure to kind of put before your eyes, to check yourself in those areas. I like the way that Keith went on to say, I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. And what can be done for an old heart like mine? Anybody thankful that Jesus refreshes old hearts? Man. Soften it up. Not beyond refreshing. Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, the Spirit of love. Wash me anew in the wine of your blood. And so, yeah, put that where you can see it. I love songs like that. Remember the song about I'm coming back to the heart of worship? I remember when we first learned that years ago, somebody came to me and said, I don't feel that way about the, forgive me for what I've made it. And I was so happy that they didn't feel that way. But I think I said to them, well, hang on to that song. Because there might be a day when you need the words of that song for a refreshing. So Father, you're not Father. I want to say this to you before I pray to the Father. Any of you who can say, yes, I have lifted my hand to Yahweh. I have lifted my hand to my God, and I don't want a thing that the devil has for me. If that's you, I want to ask you to lift your hands with me. And let's say this together to God tonight. Father God, I lift my hands to you in surrender, in loyalty, in gratitude, Lord. I stretch out my hands to embrace the assignments you have for me and the future that you have for me. The mission you would send me on even tonight, Lord, to restore broken lives and to fix busted relationships, Lord. I want to be an agent of your kingdom, but I have raised my hand to you, O God, in heaven. And I want nothing any longer that the devil has to offer me. All I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Now with our hands lifted up, let's sing the last part of that song. And I will build my life upon you. Let's sing this out loud. And all of his people said, amen. We're yours, Lord. We are yours. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the body of Christ offered. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for the cup of judgment that you drained so we could drink the cup of salvation tonight. And Lord, bless us as we embrace one another now, as we turn and again greet each other and welcome each other. And just, God, do a beautiful, sweet work in our midst here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.